Hello, Zimbabwe, and welcome to Live Talk. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. I'm your host, Jacob Stube. Today on Live Talk Diaspora Forum, we are talking about the crackdown on illegal immigrants by an opposition party in South Africa and Operation Tutula. But first, a look at what is happening elsewhere. The White House continues to reject mounting calls for a cessation of hostilities between Israel and Hamas in Gaza, sending mixed signals amid President Joe Biden's efforts to appease some Americans' calls for a ceasefire. White House Bureau Chief Patsy Witakuswara reports.
The death toll has topped 23,000 people, according to the Gaza Health Ministry, as Israel continues its military operations, insisting it will stop only after Hamas is eliminated, despite mounting calls for a ceasefire.
We do continue to support humanitarian pauses, but not a general ceasefire right now. The president wasn't signaling any change at all.
The National Security Council's John Kirby reiterated the U.S. position to VOA during Tuesday's briefing, despite this remark from President Joe Biden a day earlier.
I've been quietly working with the Israeli government to get them to reduce and significantly get out of Gaza, using all that I can to do.
Biden was responding to hecklers urging him to call for a ceasefire. One of the most public demonstrations yet of how the conflict is dividing American voters ahead of the November presidential election.
The Biden administration and President Biden himself are in a very difficult position here because there still is a significant portion of the American public that is very strongly in support of the Israel-United States alliance and views any effort not to support Israel 100% as threatening to this alliance.
A December Gallup poll shows that 38% of Americans believe Israel receives about the right amount of U.S. support, while 36% think it gets too much and 24% too little. 40% of Democrats and independents say the U.S. provides too much support for Israel, compared with 26% of Republicans. Patsy Witakuswara, VOA News, Washington.
The United States says it is pausing its participation in the Zimbabwe Structures Dialogue Platform on debt clearance with creditors and development partners following the disputed 2023 elections, which it says were not free, fair and credible. In an exclusive interview, Church Day Affairs at the U.S. Embassy in Harare, Ms. Elaine French also said USA is funding a lot of programs in Zimbabwe despite its strained relations between the two nations.
I've been in Zimbabwe now for a year and a half. I arrived in August 2022 as the chargé d'affaires, and in that time I've really had an opportunity to travel around the country on a number of different trips and see a lot of what the U.S. government and the U.S. embassy is doing in this country, a lot of the life-saving assistance we're providing the Zimbabwe people. Our embassy has a number of other U.S. agencies at it, including the U.S. Agencies for International Development and the U.S. Centers for Disease Control. Through a lot of these trips, I've been able to see their work firsthand with the public of Zimbabwe. And I think what's been clear to me is that, the United States has been here as a consistent partner with the people of Zimbabwe since Zimbabwe's independence. We were one of the first countries to open up an embassy here in 1980. And in the last 44 years, we've provided a lot of assistance to the people of Zimbabwe, close to $5 billion worth of assistance in Zimbabwe. And I think it really shows kind of our partnership and our consistency in Zimbabwe over the last four decades. Some might think that assistance has been diminishing or reducing in recent years, but actually, in fact, it's increased. Over the last 3 years alone, the United States has provided $1 billion in health, humanitarian, and development assistance to the people of Zimbabwe. So I think the key message here is that we have been a consistent and unwavering partner here to the people of Zimbabwe. But to your question specifically, since the August 2023 elections and even before that, I would characterize the relationship as strained between the government of Zimbabwe and the United States, partly due to the lack of progress on democratic reforms on behalf of the government of Zimbabwe, which I think were exemplified in the recent August 2023 elections. Despite the calm and the patience and the resilience we saw from the people of Zimbabwe during elections, we felt that the elections fell short of regional and international standards. And quite honestly, we're not alone in that feeling. Many of the electoral observer missions reported the same, including some of Zimbabwe's own neighbors in the SADC region. We shared this sentiment with the government in advance and during and after elections, our concerns. We're also deeply disturbed by some of the events that have happened since elections, in particular some of the violent acts against opposition members and supporters, some of which have been injured and even killed. So our message is really clear to the government of Zimbabwe. We urge them to take meaningful steps towards open, accountable, and democratic governance reforms. We think that that is what is key and important going forward in our relationship.
The recourse that have happened after the August 2023 elections and the by-elections that started barely less than 2 months after the elections. What's your assessment of it? How do you characterize that? And also, what's your assessment of the opposition, the CCC in Zimbabwe?
Well, our feeling is that individuals who won by large margins in the August 2023 elections, should not be removed by the voice of one person. It really undermines the will of the people, the people that came out and voted on Election Day in August 2023. As I've mentioned, we urge the government to take very clear reforms on kind of open and democratic processes. The United States does not support any political parties nor candidates in Zimbabwe. We support democratic institutions and processes.
That was Charged with Affairs at the U.S. Embassy in Harare, Ms. Ellen French, speaking with VOA's Rutendo Mawere in Harare. But ZANU-PF Communications Director Farai Marapira says Zimbabwe has conducted free and fair elections, adding that the ruling party is not worried about Ms. Ellen French's remarks.
ZANU-PF, we have always made it clear that we maintain President Edi Nangagwa's open door policy. It's unfortunate some people are failing to accept the results that came out in August because they are not what they themselves wanted, as is the case of the American embassy. But they must understand that the whole point of democracy is for the people to vote for who they want into office, and the people did that in August. They voted for President Mnangagwa and they voted for ZANU-PF. Now, if the people vote and make a choice which is contrary to what the Americans want and expect, the Americans should not then seek to sully or stain a very clear statement by the people of who they choose to support. Be that as it may, our doors remain open. The president has been very clear. We are a friend to all and an enemy to none. We remain friends with the Americans. We are not their enemies, even at the West. Or at the worst point, we are not their enemies. So we simply await them should they choose to reconsider and re-engage and come back to the table as equals. The door, as President Edi Mnangagwa said, will always be open. Thank you.
That was ZANU-PF Communications Director Farai Marapira speaking with VOA's Rutendo Mawere in Harare. And now back to our main topic. Most Zimbabweans who live and work in South Africa are now back in that country. Those with valid work permits used legal ports of entry One undocumented Zimbabweans attempted to sneak into the country by crossing the crocodile-infested Limpopo River. This time, these reptiles were not the only snake, as they also faced members of the opposition Patriotic Alliance who were patrolling the border without state clearance. The party is working in conjunction with Operation Tutula to forcibly remove illegal immigrants. They claim are mostly stealing their jobs and pushing drugs. Please stay tuned. We'll be back shortly.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. Today we are discussing the crackdown on illegal immigrants in South Africa, and we also talk about what is happening in terms of passports. We understand the Zimbabweans living in different countries will now be eligible to get passports while in those countries. To discuss this issue, we are joined by Mr. Mabuto Mapena, chairperson of the Zimbabwe community in South Africa, and we also have Professor Ricky Mkonza, who is right now in London, but is working in South Africa. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you so much. Greetings to you and greetings to your listeners.
And thank you so much. So let's start with you, Mr. Mapena. You saw what is happening. You know, the Patriotic Alliance chasing some Zimbabweans, you know, along the Limpopo River, and there's an outcry over that. So why do this at this time of the year, you know?
Well, in terms of the Patriotic Alliance or any other South African patrolling the borders, is not an issue for us to comment, because South Africa is sovereign, is a sovereign state that has to be overseen by the South African government. Whether they approve of that or disapprove of that is an internal issue. Ours is to call on the Zimbabwean government to reduce the prices of passport, because many people do not afford the passport fees. This is why you end up people crossing to South Africa using illegal entry points, because if you were to reduce the price of passport to a level where ordinary people will manage to apply for the or afford to apply for the passport, people will be using correct entry points, because if the passport is $150, how many people do afford that are in Zimbabwe? Some of these people, they will just want to be coming to do some groceries in Musina, or to come and sell their goods, or to stock their goods for resale back in Zimbabwe. So the passport is out of reach. Those that are working in South Africa, we always advise them that they need to plan their travel. It is January now, 2024. I know that in December 2024, I will travel. If I do not have a passport, or any of my family members do not have a passport, I need to budget so that by the time I travel in December for holidays, I will be using a Zimbabwean passport.
Thank you very much. And stay on the line, Mr. Mapena. Let's go to Professor Mkonza. He works in South Africa, but at the moment he is in London. So welcome to the program. What's your take on what is happening, Professor?
Thank you very much, Gibbs. I think what the Patriotic Front and Operation Dundula comrades are doing must be seen within the elections mood that is in South Africa. GIPS and listeners, you would know that in South Africa, this year, there are going to be elections. And obviously, Patriotic Front is one of the competitors or participating political parties. They would want to portray themselves as being nationalistic or more nationalistic than other parties. They would also want to, score political points by portraying the African National Congress government as, failing to do its one of its basic responsibilities of, ensuring that borders of South Africa are secure. So that's why you are then seeing them doing what they are doing. I agree with Mr. Ngabuto that the responsibility to ensure that, passports are within the reach of most Zimbabweans should be with the Zimbabwean government. But from a political analysis point of view, I think let's see it as part of campaigning by the Patriotic Alliance in South Africa, because migration is going to form is going to be a key issue in the upcoming election.
Thank you very much, Professor Mkhonza. Hold on there. We've got a caller. Excuse me, okay. Caller, let's see. Caller, Mbani. Hello, caller.
Hello, how are you?
No, fine. How are you doing?
I'm fine, and you?
Fine. Who are we talking to? Hello, Dian Tutalnai. Hello, Baba. I think we've lost that caller literally. So, yeah, what is we going to Baba? Umapena. So, Baba, umapena. Ask a girl to see if she can locate you. No, 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 we are on. Hello, Patriotic Alliance. We are going to the operation to do that. We won't give in. ANC, we won't want to. When you are going to go to the locate the caller, I'm going to avoid.
Yeah, we will locate all the caller, but Tabana Ubuti. Ngambe ngathi bona apa izalo zeSouth Africa kazithola imisebenzi ngokuthi kulabantu bokuza abasebenzwe ngekho emthethweni bazathola amavoti. Sibonile bekusebenzisa ngo-2021 kuma-local government elections okwenza ukuthi bathole nje izihlalo ezinlutshwana ku-Johannesburg City Council. Sabona i-ANC ingatholi laphana isehluleka ukuthi inqobe eTswane municipality, isehluleka eHoruland, Nelson Mandela Bay. Yikho ke bacabanga ukuthi nxa kusetshenziswa indaba yabantu bokuza izalwane zeSouth Africa zizabavotela. Kodwa siyakwazi ukuthi into engani igxile kakhulu kulolu khetho yebo ye indaba ye-immigration, migration, kodwa kule ndaba ye-load shedding eyiyo ehlupha abantu abaningi, amakhampani ayavala. Njalo futhi Patriotic Alliance kaba-propose an alternative economic policy ngoba bona bakufaka ukuthi abantu bokuza bengabuyela emakubo kuyavuleka imisebenzi, kodwa kababheki kwi-economic policy eyiyo eyenza ukuthi izivalo zabantu abangasebenzi ziye phezulu kakhulu.
Professor Mkhonza, so in your mother language, do you think that this immigration issue is very critical to most parties in South Africa, including the ruling party?
Wonke unyaya yabantu bekunze bari mu South Africa inyaya hombe mu South Africa kubagari kunyanya-nyanya vari nechepasi nekuda kwekuti mukova Gibbs zviri kuitika ndezvekuti zvizvarwa zvevekunze zvisina mapepa zviri kurwira mabasa nezveupfumi zvakaita sekutengesa zvekuita matax shop zvakaita semabasa anowanikwa nechekuzasi nezvizvarwa zvemusouth Africa izvo zvisina maskills. Saka itori nyaya hombe chaiyo chaiyo pasarudzo nekuti rimwe dambudziko riri musouth Africa inyaya yeurombo, inyaya yekusawanikwa kwemabasa, unemployment, nenyaya yekha uri pakati pevapfumi nevarombo inonzi inequality. Saka pane zvavari kuti the three key problems in South Africa: poverty, unemployment and inequality. Saka panouya nyaya yeimmigration, kana kuti nyaya yevashanyi vanobva kunze vanouya kuzotsvaga cheuviri muSouth Africa, inyaya yakatariswa neveruzhinji. Saka zviri kuitwa nePatriotic Alliance ndezvekuti vari kuzviisa ivo sebato rine zvido zvevana veSouth Africa vari nechekuzasi pamoyo, kuti vawane mavhoti, sekutaura kwandamboita nechirungu, kuti gore ra-2024 igore resarudzo muSouth Africa.
So, Mr. Mapena, let's say you take away this immigration issue from the scene, you know, in terms of this. Okay, let me take a caller first, Mr. Mapena. I'm coming back to you. It's no caller, I'm back to you. This is no one. Hello, caller. How are you?
Hello, caller.
It's Kuluma Lobani. Put out a land.
Kuluma no Baba Umoyo.
Yeah, who's Almoy?
Ya mulumuza moyo kokutoma kuti ngiti happy new year kuwe baba Chris Dube no banga kuti mabena no baba Rick Mkonza na vonge abalalela wabukeli awasaizwa indaba ya lalela ya indaba ngathanda kuipa ulo ngathanda kuitsho indaba ye operation Dudula ne macembo lawa South Africa awa lava vasina msebenzi vanganokhuluma njenge iwaya kukhuluma marange ngibone kuti into yabo le isasebenza. Sibe sisaba kukhulu kwahambala ngesikhathi sizidlulile, sesibonile even masilapho sidlule lapho eboda yabona abantu bayazikhambela ngendaba ehlupheka yasekhaya lapho, yabona ukuthi izinto kunzima kukhulu even ma ubona abantu besifazana bayasebenza usuku nasemini endleleni, abantu bayazithengisela izinto bazifunayo. Nithi ukuthi abantu nabo ngokwabo fot bazenzele something nabo basebenzele, hayi ukuthi bakhambe bahluphana abantu khulukhulu iqembu le-operation Dudula iqembu le lakaba wamakhenzi ngesikhathi lesenuzulila siyathi abahambe kuthi ma yena ma abusa uzokuhamba ayocima mshini angeke aze abuse umuntu osiphambili onjani lo ukhuluma izinto ezihlusa khulu kwamambala zokucriminal.
So does it mean that most of these people akabala ma-passports kumbe which I double up nje moyo?
Ya abantu baya okay aba wabona ya indaba ya ma-passport iqiniso lelo, abantu abaningi abanawo ama-passport even ma uzulu bangxa ukuthi mabeni akhulumile la ngesikhathi lesa athi ngine ukuthi ama-passport vele ayadura. The way izinto zidura ngakhona even ma sikhuluma nje last Monday lesi khambile lapha e-court yase-Hatfield siyokhipha abanye abaso babotshiwe lapha e-Hatfield and imali yabo amaloya seyiphezulu kukho kwambala ukuphumisa umuntu i-4,500 mara niyanegotiata and amanye amaloya rayithi maninganamali niyakhipha i-deposit 1.5 umuntu wenu uyakhitshwa okunye loku nizohlala nibhadela njalo njalo. So into yenza ukuthi abantu bangabe nama-passport izizathu eziningi khulu kwambala ukubiza kwezinto even ukufana ukuthi namhlanje si abanye uthotha umama i-passport unayo wakufika wakunikeza 2 months or 3 weeks. So iyo into yeleyo yenza ukuthi abantu ngisezeukuthi kuyafana ukuthi incoming ana-passport. So iyo inkinga inabantu aningi leyo banganama-passport mara ngeke sibableme sazi ukuthi u-travela asithi abanye bayathumela uyodingisa kwa-passport yabo Swaziland or e-Mozambique kuye nasezimbabwe 800 uya Swaziland abanye bathi 1000 uya Zimbabwe. So ngesikhathi abantu bayadawulapha njalo njalo and ngesikhathi lesi abantu abasadawulapha bayadlula ngase-border gate laphaya ngenye izathokoza even amaphoyisa bayaziwela abantu ngile kuthi nawo amaphoyisa azi ukuthi laba abantu nabo bafuna ukuphila. So izinto zihlanganelayo nazo kubanesradi emasi zivele lapha ezimbabwe kumarodsokunamarobuko amaningi khulu mara abantu babanamachinga ukuthi baphume kuthi bakhona ukuziphilisa impilo yasekhaya inzima kakhulu.
Yeah, thank you very much baba Richard Moyo, siyabonga kakhulu. Let's go back to Mr. Mabuto Mapena. So Mr. Mapena, you know, there are indications that the government wants to issue passports. Let's say in South Africa, they do everything for everyone, and then you get them from there. How possible is this? That's the first question. And how accessible can those passports be, taking into account that, you know, the fees is very high?
I think it doesn't change much because people do apply for Zimbabwean passports at the consulate. What you need, of course, is to decentralize because we only have a consulate in Cape Town and in Johannesburg. Those that are in Limpopo, Northwest, Mpumalanga, Eastern Cape, they have to travel to either Cape Town or Johannesburg to apply. Because here, once you complete your passport forms, you courier that to Zimbabwe, get processed, and then you can pick it up here. So I think the whole aim is to generate money because the passport is $150, the US dollars. So passport application is one of the key revenues that now government is harvesting on. They've realized that there are many Zimbabweans that are in South Africa, and they want to milk as many people as possible. So it's not real about providing a service for people to apply for passports. It's about really making money because that's the avenue that they want to raise their revenue.
No, thank you very much, Mr. Mkonza. Professor Mkonza, your last word.
Yeah, thank you. I want to just concur with Ms. Mabena that government is, you know, the Zimbabwean government is demonstrating, you know, a certain level of, you know, irresponsibility. Because passports are supposed to be documents that citizens are entitled to in order for them to travel from one country to the other. But it would appear as if government is, positioning this as a revenue-generating mechanism, which is not supposed to be, because passports are supposed to be, you know, getting a passport is supposed to be public service. But now you look at it, it appears more like a government is looking at it as a money-making scheme, which is something that whether they make these passports available. But the bottom line is, I think the way in which they're doing it is not right.
Yes, hold on there, gentlemen. We are getting news that Zimbabwe's information minister has actually dismissed the state-owned Zimbabwe Broadcasting Corporation's board and got rid of two television presenters over remarks they made over King Lobengula, you know. And then the sources were saying that, you know, those the board was dissolved simply because of governance issues and this issue of the triple divisive remarks. So there's a new board. So let's see who's there in the new board. I see that there is Ninette Ilusulukuni, Dr. Henry Mkono, Charles Munganaso, Precious Charandura, Chiponeta, Lewis Uriri, and Heliet Rushaya. This announcement was made by the president today. So, Mr. Mabena, your last word on that.
I think we condemn what the two presenters of ZBC have been saying. This is what we did when the newspaper application said the same through that cartoon. And in our view, we think that we need to educate our young people with the correct history. We might be blaming them, but this is what they are taught. So it's critical that we review our history syllabus so that we teach our young people the correct history so that we do not cause ethnic divisions in the country.
10 seconds, Professor Mkonza.
Yes, I followed the story, and the, probably that was the right thing to do. But like you, Mr. Mabena, said, I think more education needs to be done to the young people so that they know the correct
thing. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, gentlemen. That brings us to the end of our show today. Signing off in Washington, I'm Kip Stubbe.